This is James Jacobs, author of Lords of Madness and Fiendish Codex 1 and the upcoming Expedition to the Ruins of Greyhawk, and you are listening to The Tome.
This show is a member of Goblin, the gaming broadcast network, gbncom.com.
Welcome to The Tome, episode 38. The Tome is a D&D news, reviews, and interviews podcast, and I am your Tome host, Jeff Greiner. In this episode, we will be prancing with elfish agility through 4th edition races. Welcome again to episode 38 of The Tome, 4th edition races. First up, I'm going to start trying out putting the promo after the meat of the episodes, like I talked about in the previous episode, so you can get your promos there. I have had lots of requests from people that I suggest other shows to you, and so that's why I do the promos, and that's why I talk about the promos that I'm playing, because they are sort of personal suggestions from me. In this specific episode, since the 4th edition races is a little bit shorter, especially compared to last time's exceptionally long discussion, I am instead going to take this opportunity to play you another short sketch from Role Playing Public Radio and give you an idea of what kind of hilarious things they're doing over there. Second quick bit of news, and I normally don't like to do a lot of news at the beginning anymore. A quick bit of news. I have officially opened up an Amazon store for the show. Now, I'm a supporter of spending your money at the local gaming shop because they can offer you things that an online store simply can't. However, I also recognize the need and benefit from buying online. So I have set up a store that includes products that I have been mentioning on the show or that are likely to be mentioned in the show in the future. Now, I would love it if you would consider using the Tome's Amazon store if you're planning on buying online. You get the same Amazon prices and same Amazon shipping and all that kind of stuff. But the show gets a percentage of the proceeds because I'm the one referring you to them to buy these things. And that just sort of I'm hoping will help cover some of the cost of the show. Now, I've never received a dime or even a freebie as a result of doing the show. I do it for a passion for the game, but I came across this opportunity and I thought I might try to cover some of the costs that it cost me monthly in hosting fees and in purchasing new equipment to try to improve quality and that kind of stuff. So I thought I'd give it a shot and see how it goes. So that's out there. If you go to the website, thetomeshow.com, there should be a button at the top that says store, and it'll bring you over to the Tome's Amazon store. There's different categories on the left-hand side, and then there's also a link that you can head back to the Tome's website if that's where you want to head. Well, that's it for the show's news. Time for Chris Engler and I to continue our chat with 4th edition. This time we're talking about 4th edition races. Please remember that information is from official sources only and was current at the time of recording, although there has been a recent release of races and classes information in a book that came out after we recorded, although some of the information on it from what I is not exactly up to date, but does give you some insight as to the mindset of the creators of the new 4th edition game. But in any case, I'm rambling. Without further ado, I'll turn the show over to, me and Chris Engler. All right, so we're going to talk about races now. So far, under the known core races, and I'm getting the feeling that the core races are pretty well set at this point, and that we pretty much know what they are. We've got our humans, we've got halflings, we've got elves, half-elves, dwarves, tieflings, and eladrin. And so those last two are new to the player's handbook, but I do know that we're not going to see the gnome.
Yeah, the nostalgia in me sort of thing, oh, there's no gnomes, but I mean, yeah, I mean, so many races that, you know, some have to stay and some have to go. So.
Yeah, and honestly, I think, yeah, part of me is like, yes, the nostalgia in me, like you said, says I want to see the gnome in there, and the other part of me says, yeah, but in the many years I've been playing 3rd edition, I think I've played one gnome. And
right.
The character's not even necessarily that memorable to me, so, it, you know, okay. So I can kind of see where they're coming from, and part of me is, you know, a little part of my heart dies inside, but on the other hand, it sort of makes sense.
When a gnome goes away, a tiefling takes its place.
Oh, that's a sad thought. But the tiefling and the eladrin are the new ones, and they're both connected to the idea of the planes. They're both planar-connected creatures. And so there seems to be more, I don't know, more of a push in that direction for the game also, involving the planes.
Yeah, that was it. Like, that seemed very Forgotten Realms inspired to me. Just the inclusion of, you know, a planar race as a stock player
right.
character race. I mean,
well,
I'm wondering how, you know, I mean, looking at the core races here, I mean, humans, halflings, elves, half elves, dwarfs. I mean, those, you know, you can pretty much picture, you know, any combination of those walking down the street as a party of adventurers and, you know, being able to move through most societies without turning too many heads. But, you know, once you start incorporating outsiders, that's going to make for some interesting roleplay opportunities, let's say.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things that's actually come up on that very issue is that, what about all these worlds that we're already playing in, you know, the Forgotten Realms included, you know, or Eberron or whatever that's already out there. How are we going to suddenly explain this massive influx of tieflings and eladrin that previously didn't exist? And I guess sort of the response that we've gotten from Wizards was,
they were there, but they were hiding.
They were there all along. You just didn't notice, you know, in the same way when they switched from second edition to third edition in the Forgotten Realms, they're like, oh yeah, by the way, sorcerers. Yeah. They were there all along. You just never noticed it, you know?
Yeah. Deus ex machina.
Right. And so I think, and you know, I sort of get the impression that in some cases they're going to try to involve storylines that sort of explain it. And when we get to the settings section, we'll talk about the Forgotten Realms a little bit. And specifically, I think they've set up the Forgotten Realms for some pretty massive changes. And so you could definitely see adding whole large groupings of new races into that setting, given the fact that the whole setting is going through some big changes.
Now, when you say the setting's going through changes, are they going like back in time and changing history, or are they progressing along the current historical vector and just, you know, dropping some proverbial bombs?
They're doing the second one. They're continuing okay. on. They're fast forwarding the Forgotten Realms by 10 years. And in those missing 10 years, some big bombs have been dropped. And again, we'll talk about that later on. So the next thing deals with elves, and they had a whole article about elves and the changes for elves and the concepts of elves. And honestly, I read through it and it said, okay, these are the same elves that I've been seeing forever. So no big changes to the elves. So I don't necessarily know why we needed a preview article about what elves were going to be like. Except that they also talked a little bit about the eladrin, which are connected to the elves. They're related to the elves, but they're also connected to celestial creatures who – I mean, there have been eladrin celestial creatures in the game for a while now. And so they're sort of connected to both. I wonder if they're not sort of – you know, sort of the way a tiefling is demonic and human or whatever mixed together. I wonder if the eladrin aren't a race that is a combination of celestials and elves.
Yeah, a new kind of half-elf for the new millennium. Who knows?
Yeah. And I also am starting to wonder, based on some other things that I've read, that I'm wondering if the eladrin aren't going to be some sort of fey or fairy type elven creature. Because they seem to be pushing a lot more of that element into the game in the new edition.
Yeah, it could be. It just, I don't know. I just look at that list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 races and just, you know, the old two of these things just don't belong here. You know, it just seems that the Tiefling and Eladrin just seem tacked on to me, assuming that the other five races are going to remain pretty much the way we remember them.
Right.
So.
They do seem very tacked on to me also. And I think that it was tacked on, and I think there's not much denying that, but I think it was tacked on because they said, well, yeah, but people really like these and they're having a lot of fun with it. And let's sort of highlight the things that make the game more fun for people.
Yeah.
Going back to that idea of they want to get more people into the game. So if they highlight the fun aspects, then that'll maybe get more people into the game, I guess.
True, but I would be surprised if, you know, somebody that never heard of a role-playing game, you know, you ask them, you know, what do you want to play? And they, well, I really want to play a Tiefling.
Right.
Yeah. But, I mean, trying new things, you know.
Yep. I also have a note in here about Warforged, because if you've been keeping up on the playtest reports on the website at all, Warforged have shown up on several of them. However, Warforged will not be core, and they're not even really ready for 4th edition at this point. It was more of one of the players just really wanted to play a Warforged, and so they mixed and mashed some ideas together and said, okay, we'll play this and we'll call it a Warforged.
That GM just should have told him no.
Yeah, well, I think what it was is they were converting a 3rd edition game into a playtest. So
really? That's interesting, because, you know, everything that I've heard is they've always – the terminology that I've been hearing out of Wizards is, you know, your 3rd edition games will finish and then you will start new 4th edition games.
Yes.
And that, you know, they've really – I mean, they've been honest and said, you know, there really isn't – you know, the idea of converting 3rd to 4th really is not something that they're considering. So that's interesting to me that they're doing that for a playtest when they've come right out and said that it's not something that they're really supporting.
Right. And yes, I've heard exactly what you said, but I've also heard some talk of, well, there's no converting, but you can sort of take old characters and recreate them as 4th edition characters, you know, sort of keep the same flavor to them, but redo them as new characters and then continue on with your old storyline. So I guess that's just another approach that they've sort of mentioned, but you're definitely right. I mean, the stock company answer is go ahead and finish up your 3rd edition games, and then when you're done with that, 4th edition will be ready for you.
And that's something that I'd be critical of. You know, I don't understand why they wouldn't. I mean, the volume of material that they'd have to convert would be, you know, a mammoth undertaking, but I don't understand why they wouldn't provide some, you know, skeletal, I mean, even if it's just for the stuff in the player's handbook or stuff like that, some sort of guideline for people to convert, because that, to me, that's kind of thumbing your nose at your existing customers. I mean, you know, if you liken it to something like software. I mean, what if, you know, Microsoft released a new edition of Word and they said, oh, well, you know, this new edition's great. You know, we fixed everything that you don't like about the previous edition of Word. But you know what? All those documents that you wrote in Word prior to that, they're not going to work the new edition.
Right. And I the story sort of behind that deals with the experience they had converting from 3rd edition to 3.5. is that it didn't – I mean, they provided a conversion packet and all that kind of stuff, and they even did one from 2nd edition to 3rd edition. And in the end, they – and especially with that 2nd to 3rd edition one, they decided that it was really kind of not being honest to say that you can convert a 2nd edition character into a 3rd. Because looking back at it, I've converted some characters that way, and looking back at it, it wasn't really something that – I mean, it's more of an art form than it is a science.
Sure.
At the end of the day, it was just easier to say, you know what, forget this conversion packet. I have this level of 2nd edition character. Let's create what seems to be the same power level of 3rd edition character and try to give the same flavor to it and just call it the same character. And that's basically what they're telling people to do, is that if you want to convert old stuff, just make something new, but try to make it feel as much like the old as possible.
Yeah, I guess it just seems funny to me, because in some ways I hear them saying, you know, for, you know, certain things they talk about, they're going to be like, you know, it's going to be the D&D, you know, it's still the D20 system. it's still all these things you're used to. But then they tell you you can't convert. You know, to my mind, it's like, okay, either really cut the cord and say, okay, we're going in a radically different direction, and, you know, we're taking lessons learned from prior editions, and, you know, we're starting with something really brand new. It kind of feels to me like they want to, you know, I mean, it, you know, hey, this is all part of marketing and spin, right? You know,
right.
But it sort of, you know, speaking strictly as a consumer, it sort of feels like, you know, I'm being pulled two different ways depending on what they wanna tell me.
Sure, and I think what I've sort of the conclusion I've come to is that they are putting out a completely new edition, and it's not the same game in the same way that third edition is not the same as second edition or first edition. They're just not the same game, but they use a lot of the same ideas as the D20 system for third edition did. The whole idea that you roll a D20 to do pretty much everything, high is always good, low is always bad, that's the core of the D20 system, and that's going to be the same. But I think a lot of the other stuff is going to be very, very different, and it won't be convertible.
Well, and the other thing that, you know, I mean, just to be entirely fair on the other side of the coin, I mean, whenever you call something Dungeons and Dragons, I mean, if you took away something, I mean, if all of a sudden the six attributes weren't strength, dexterity, constitution, intelligence, wisdom, and charisma, and you changed it to something else, I mean, that would, you know, that's part of their brand identity,
right?
Similar with, you know, hit points, armor class, I mean, even just having character levels.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand why they probably feel strongly compelled to keep all of those age-old concepts, just so that even though they mean different things in different editions, that they're always there. So I mean,
although they,
I could go ahead.
Although they did get rid of Thaco.
Yeah, well, I don't think you hear too many people complaining about that.
Some ideas, no matter how much a part of your brand, are just nice to get rid of.
But that's a good example. I mean, they didn't get rid of armor class, but they got rid of Thaco.
Right.
Because, you know, Thaco was, you know, It was a cumbersome mathematical process, but the idea of armor class remained. You know,
you keep as much of the old as you can, or at least in name, so that things seem familiar to the old players.
Right. I mean, it would be like if they said, you know, okay, we're creating a new fantasy role playing game, and, you know, calling it something other than Dungeons and Dragons. I mean, that would be completely foolish. And
sure.
And to a lesser extent, you know, changing all the things that make people, you know, that people like and identify with Dungeons and Dragons, to change that would be, you know, just as bad on their point.
Okay, well, there's fourth edition races. Now a quick sketch from Role Playing Public Radio.
The following is a production from Role Playing Public Radio, slangdesign.com/RPPR.
You've seen all the statistics. Now play Red State versus Blue State. America, the real-time strategy game. Red State versus Blue State puts you in control of one of the two prevailing currents of American socio-political thought in an all-out fight to the death for the complete hegemonic control of the American populace. Make sure you develop support by building a wide infrastructure of suburbia and trailer parks. Upgrade your troops with a hybrid sports utility vehicle and pickup trucks with gun racks. Make sure to build plenty of military installations for your troops to gain enviable combat experiences like coffee houses.
I'll take an iced latte with whole milk.
I said I wanted an ice, damn it!
And superstores.
Let's see, I need underwear, motor oil, and a ham sandwich.
But Red State versus Blue State isn't just about frontline combat. There is economic warfare, where you can secretly try to undercut your opponent's goals by outsourcing jobs.
Welcome to India!
Or sponsoring illegal immigrant workers.
Arriba, arriba, andre, andre, yeehaw!
There is political warfare, where you can elect charismatic leaders to rally your troops around
like congressmen with long-standing family histories in American politics, or leaders who seem to represent the everyman, while at the same time try to lessen your opponent's political influence by supporting popular third-party candidates. There is even cultural warfare, where you can hire horrendously fat documentary filmmakers to engage the disaffected youth.
Yes. My next film is about this cheese. Danish, now rub it all over me.
Or blathering television talk show hosts to incense your viewers.
My show gives a whole new definition to the word spin.
You get all this and much more at Red State vs. Blue State America, the real-time strategy game. By completing missions like decentralizing your opponent's support base, by strengthening federal government over state government, or even viciously physically attacking your opponent on the congressional floor Charles Sumter style. You can unlock special units like heavy metal rock bands.
Hey, me old China, capitalism is wrong!
And hordes of television evangelicals.
Worship Jesus! But first, give me 1995, you damn sinners, or you are going to go to hell. I told you that.
Red State versus Blue State America, the real-time game, is not for pansy moderates who can't make up their minds on a political platform. You either got to grab your country by the balls and squeeze till it bleeds red, or you've got to winnow away with your social reforms until you've choked the country blue. The choice is yours.
And that's Role Playing Public Radio. As always, I urge and welcome listeners to help the show in any way you can. Some of the best ways is to participate or visit the Tome's Amazon store. Send in your emails or audio comments to thetomeshow@gmail.com, or let me know if you're interested in reporting for the show regularly. You can also dig the show at dig.com, vote for us at Podcast Alley, or leave an iTunes review. All of these things help the show get noticed, and I really appreciate that. Also, don't forget to consider checking out the Tome's Amazon store. The show gets a percentage of the proceeds, and that helps the show stay on the air. All this information, the forum, and more can be found on the website at www.thetomeshow.com. Also, don't forget to check out the Tome's partner podcast, Fistful of Comics and Games, at www.fistfulofcomics.com for all sorts of geeky goodness, and Gamers Haven at www.canadiancrusaders.com for some great GMly advice. This has been episode 38, 4th edition races of
The Tome.